All right, Payne and Pendergast, Brandon Scott in for Seth C. Payne. Seth out for the next few days. He'll be back on Thursday. Training camp starting up on Wednesday this week for the Houston Texans. The 2025 season is upon us. And B. Scott, you know I love me a good wager. Love me a good over-under. I like season win total bets because they don't have the heavy, week-to-week treachery of betting, five or six games on Sunday. Not that I don't have the occasional Sunday where I'll think about a wager, but I like season win totals mostly because on Sundays I'm working. I got to be focused on the Texans. So season win totals kind of sit in the background for you. You know, you're not worried about, I got enough to worry about with my fantasy teams and with the Texans. You know, I don't need that big money out there. So season win totals are out heading into training camp. So this is all post-draft, post-offseason. You know, we now know Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler. We've had some late-in-the-game kind of signings going on, stuff like that. That's the biggest one. Vic Tafur of The Athletic has his predictions for all 32 teams. However, like any good writer, any good handicapper, especially someone doling out advice, he picks out about a half dozen or so that are his best bets, his favorite ones. The very first best bet in Vic Tafur of The Athletic's article with all 32 teams in their selection, the very first bet, over 9.5 wins plus 100, which means even money. It means you bet 100, you win 100.
Yeah.
So that's the juice on there. Over 9.5 wins, your Houston Texans.
I'll take it.
Best bet, over 9.5 wins. You think it's the, does it feel so good to you that you would give it to a friend or colleague as betting advice? Best bet, Houston. I'll read what he says here in a second, but I want your gut reaction to that.
So much so that I have been concerned that I'm being unreasonable by, in some ways, being bored by the Texans' success. Like, I think, and this is an issue for me, I think the Texans, I will almost, I'm willing to guarantee 10 wins this year.
Guarantee.
I feel like it's, and this is the step that I want them to make. This is to kind of go on a quick Texans tangent here.
Yeah.
I am done with the 10-7. I feel ungrateful because it's been fun. We were talking about this earlier. It's been a fun ride. It's been a really good time.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for them to take that next step and be something other than the 10-win division winner, winner in the wild card that they host. They're invitational now. And, like, do something more than that. Do something greater than that.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid, solid bet. A really, really good bet. Maybe even, as Vic says here, the best bet.
Yeah.
That they'll be a 10-win team. What I ain't willing to bet on is that they'll do anything more than that. You know what I mean? Like that.
Like a run in the playoffs.
Exactly. That's the step that I want. I feel pretty damn good about them winning 10 games and winning a playoff game at home. Because that's what it feels like they are about.
I do too.
So I can see this being a best bet, and I would take it. Absolutely.
You're on Vic Tafur's train on this one.
I'm with him.
I like the Texans a lot too. Here's what he says. For having a disappointing season last year, the Texans still won 10 games going over their projected total. They were 9.5 last year at this time as well. Only trailed the Chiefs by 1 point entering the fourth quarter of the divisional playoff round. They were 4-1 in the games where they had both Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, before injuries and predictable play calling exposed a terrible offensive line. All right, let's dig into that for a second. They were 4-1 in the games where they had both Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. It's so sad, man, that they only had those two together on
Hardly
the field.
For
5 games. That's gut-wrenching to go back and take a look at.
And then all of the key weapons missed extended time from Joe.
Joe missed some games.
To Nico, obviously Diggs, and of course Tank at the end.
Tank at the end of the year, yeah. And Dalton Schultz just wasn't as good as he was the year before.
On top of all of that.
Yeah. The predictable play calling, so the two things, before injuries and predictable play calling exposed a terrible offensive line. There's nothing you can do about injuries. Have they addressed the predictable play calling? I don't think we know yet. We haven't watched Nick Caley call a play yet.
Yeah, it is, I think, by nature of the fact that we haven't seen him unpredictable, at least for now. Going into week one, he'll be unpredictable.
Yeah.
I feel like, at the very least. We'll see how it goes after that.
And yet they're playing the one team that he actually worked for last year. You know, like if
it, oh, that's right.
You know, like
damn it.
That's, I mean,
damn it, Sean.
We're probably overthinking a little.
I actually didn't think about that part of it, but you're right.
Here's the rest of what Vic says. C.J. Stroud was sacked 54 times and was understandably a little bit jumpy. The O-line's still a big concern, but Kaley will be more innovative than Bobby Sloak with X's and O's. And just to hit pause on that for a second, I think it's a – do we know how unpredictable Nick Kaley's going to be compared to Bobby Sloak? No, but I almost feel like a little like the offensive line. It can't be any worse. Can't be any worse. Right. I feel like they've done that. The Texans have done their due diligence, at least to the extent that you know this guy's going to be better than Bobby Sloak was last year.
Yeah, that part feels like the bare minimum.
We like the additions of Christian Kirk and rookies Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll to go with Collins, and I think that's the other question. Because they talk about, you didn't have Nico and Stephon Diggs for much of the year together. Did they address, and you're not going to have Tank this year, presumably. You know, like I think they're operating with the idea Tank won't be back.
That feels pretty sick.
Yeah, like is Higgins and Knoll, very unknown, along with Kirk, very banged up the last few years. Is that enough to where you feel like, okay, they've rebuilt the receiver room? I feel good about it. I think Higgins is going to be a really good player. I think Knoll is going to be a good player, and my biggest concern out of the three is that Kirk stays healthy, honestly. I think the rookies are going to contribute at a correct rookie level for where they were drafted.
Yeah, and Kirk, I know he hasn't been healthy the last season or two, but he was healthy that first year in Jacksonville. And when he is healthy, he's hyper-productive. And honestly, man, Higgins and Knoll, I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be, like what their ceiling is. I have no idea on either. But I do expect both to contribute right away. Like, I expect the learning curve to, if not necessarily be flat, but yeah. I don't think it's going to be a steep learning curve for either one of these guys. I expect them to be instant contributors to this offense and instant weapons for C.J. Stroud.
Maybe this is with the benefit of now knowing that Nick Caserio is pretty good at drafting. But I feel, you know, Nico was a third-round pick. I feel way better about both of these guys than I did about Nico Collins. You know, Nico had taken a year off because of the COVID year and things like that. But I feel good about both guys. He finishes up by saying, with their great pass rush, it's impossible not to see the Texans winning at least 10 games for a third straight season. The overall caveat with all this is that CJ's got to be healthy for the Texans to fulfill. How many wins is CJ Stroud worth to this team, do you think? What would a Davis Mills quarterbacked Texans team go over? If you think that these Texans are, I'd say, a 12-5 team, right? Yeah. Because you think they're going to win more than 10 games. Let's call it 12-5. What would a Davis Mills quarterback Texans team?
I think C.J. Stroud's worth a minimum of 4 wins to the team.
This feels like a team that struggles to get to 500 with Davis at quarterback.
Yeah. And again, the defense could be the key here, because I think just the defense alone could help win them some games.
Yes.
And Davis isn't the worst quarterback in the world. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they could kind of accidentally even win 6 or 7 games.
If Davis Mills were the quarterback of this team for 17 games, and don't come after me on the text page, like, why are you even bringing this up, Sean? I'm bringing it up. It's a topic. I'm not jinxing CJ with injury or whatever.
Yeah, man, we got 2 days till training camp.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm
dream
just
with us
preemptively putting that out there. I would, if Davis Mills were the quarterback of this team, just based on how good the defense is and the remodeling they've done of some of the skill positions, I'd definitely go over on 6.5, and I think I'd go over on 7.5. I think it's I think could they get to 8-9 with this defense and Davis Mills at quarterback? I think they could. I think they've built the offensive line is a huge question mark. I get that. But it's not like CJ relies on escapability to do what he does. I think he's more escapable than we thought he was based on some of the things we saw in the postseason with him.
Sure.
And I think he is going to run a little bit more this year when the opportunity presents itself.
But even the arm and the accuracy, man, Davis is fine.
4 games is a lot in the NFL. Like to sit.
Yeah.
You know, like you're obviously counting on Nick Kaley being able to scheme some things open and whatnot. You know, that's a big bet on Nick Kaley. If I say that, would you go over 6.5 wins if Davis Mills were the quarterback?
I would not. I would lose all faith and confidence, and it's not a shot at Davis. It would be.
If you knew, probably
even more so because of the existence of C.J. Stroud. Like, if we were just still here doing the Davis Mills experiment.
Yeah.
Then maybe
That's what I'm kind of talking about.
Maybe I would be able to talk myself into it. But since we've seen the other side, we've seen the light, I don't know how to do that. I will say this just kind of to stay with that point.
Yeah.
If Davis Mills was a quarterback, the existence of Nick Chubb on this team would be such a bigger story.
That's fair. Because
they'd be
that's
so really reliant on the run game.
They
like
would.
You would really be relying on, not just hoping like I was earlier, but really relying on Nick Chubb to recapture some of his old self.
All right. You and I are on the same page, though. Over 9.5, for sure. All right, the Astros get a huge win yesterday. I think the biggest win of the year yesterday for the Astros, but it masks some of the other things going on with this team right now, which have gotten to a DEFCON 2 or DEFCON 1 level in the injury room. We will get to that. We'll talk about the importance of what happened this weekend coming up next.